Welcome to the Day One Podcast Extra. Peter Wallace here, and with me is the Reverend Patty Davis. Patty is Archdeacon of the Episcopal Diocese of Southern Virginia and serves as Deacon at the Church of the Advent in Norfolk, Virginia. And for the past 11 years, she's also served as a nursing home chaplain. Patty is one of the two winners in 2006 of the John Hinds Preaching Award given by Virginia Theological Seminary in Alexandria, Virginia. Patty, welcome.
It's good to be here.
You play important roles in your parish and diocese, but I gather that much of your heart is committed to ministry in the nursing home. What drew you to that particular ministry?
A series of amazing stories, really, and a lot of nudging from God for more commitment. But what sealed it for me was I had decided to test this call and see if the nursing home was a place where I really could be of service. Spent the entire day there one day. Pretty much hated it. I thought it was dreadful and grim, and this must not be where God wants me. As I was leaving, though, walking down the hall, I glanced in a room as I walked by, and there was an old woman on the bed reaching for a glass of water that was out of her reach on the bedside table. And I thought, well, I could do that. So I turned around and went in and held the glass of water. And she took a drink, and then she put her head back on the pillow. And she said, I was so thirsty. And by the time I got to my car, I realized I had just met Jesus at the well, and he had asked me for a drink of water, and I can do that.
You know, so many folks are dealing with their own family members, their own parents in nursing homes and so forth, as our generation seems to be aging and people live longer. This is an increasing problem. I'm wondering about folks who are going to have to deal with their parents' care in one way or another. Do you have any advice for them as they prepare for that?
Long-term care insurance is a good idea.
Yes.
Preparing emotionally, I'm not sure that you can. In many ways, we need to be very grateful that there are nursing homes, because there are some conditions that simply can't be managed at home, especially since most of us do not live with extended family close by. So nursing homes are a tremendous help.
Well, what would you say to listeners regarding how they could serve Christ by serving others in nursing homes?
There are tons of volunteer activities in nursing homes. When people ask me, can they come to where I work and see if they might like to do it, I say, sure, of course, I'm glad to. But very often it's easiest to start out working with an activity that's going on and maybe just helping out with an activity 1 hour a week, see how that feels. Then as people get to know the residents, they discover needs that they can meet. But they are many and varied, from people who would be just willing to fill ice buckets to ease the burden on the staff, to people who are willing to make one-to-one visits and have prayers. We have as many needs as people have gifts.
I know a group from a church that goes to nursing homes, hospices, and so forth, and sings with a guitar. It can be so easy, but we just don't do things like that. It takes effort, doesn't it?
It's wonderful. And my Curcio group used to do that. We'd take our once-a-month singing meeting into the nursing home, and the residents loved it.
What are the issues generally regarding aging that our churches really should engage in more intentionally, do you think?
On a parish level, the issues for aging mostly revolve around food, transportation, and safety. And parishes can do a great deal to see that their members can get to parish activities by setting up carpooling, perhaps a pantry that offers meals for people who live alone and really don't cook or don't want to. And then just being aware of each other so that when a situation becomes unsafe, someone can step in and with some alternatives.
Mm-hmm. Switching gears a little bit, you have co-written a collection of sermons with Reverend John Capilaro, Searching for the Heart of God, Deacon and Priest in Conversation. How did that come about, and what was its purpose?
Well, it came about because at the end of services on Sunday mornings, people would say, well, can I have a copy of your sermon? And we found ourselves passing out copies of sermons, and then one of the parishioners who's in the publishing business said, we really ought to put together a book. And so we did. It was a fun venture, something we enjoyed doing, and just hope that it speaks to a larger audience than St. Paul's in Norfolk at that time, that people might find in there something from Scripture that they can see happening in their own lives.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps see the Scripture as word that is still alive.
Do you get enough opportunities to preach?
Normally, deacons preach, well, our letter of agreement says once a month, or even less.
Uh-huh.
I am fortunate to work with a priest who is not possessive of his pulpit. And he's been doing it for 35 years, so he says he'd like to hear another voice. So I preach about twice a month.
Okay. Do you have particular habits regarding your sermon preparation? How do you put a sermon together? The one you preach on our program is just beautiful.
I agonize a great deal. I read everything I can get my hands on. This sermon, though, is an exception to all of the ways that I go about sermon writing. I already had a sermon written on Tuesday when I went into work on Thursday.
Huh.
And when this happened on Thursday, I came home and sat down on Friday and said, I have to write that. Those are the best ones, the ones that God clearly says, here, preach this.
You have to be open for that, though.
You do. I have to be listening and paying attention, and that's what about walking with God is anyway.
Mm. Patty Davis, it's been a joy to have you with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you.